God, come and be present in this moment. God, pour into me what you desire to be shared, to be spoken. Empty out, Lord, all of the stuff that I've been dealing with all week long, all of the thoughts I've had over this scripture this morning, Lord. You cleanse it out right now, and you, oh God, enter in. Let, oh God, the powerful words of your existence breathe into me so that what I say may be what you desire for me and your people to hear. Let it not be for shape, form, or fashion. Let it not be, oh God, because of anything other than the glory and majesty of your power. Come, God. Come into the words that you desire. And let me, oh God, be your instrument. Amen. This is part two. If you missed part one, part one is where Jesus had the scroll. And after reading the scroll, he did the scroll drop and he placed it down, and that's where this text ends for us. But in that portion of the scroll that he read, if you recall, he read that piece about that he was to bring good news to the poor, that he was to set the captives free, that he was to bring sight to the blind, that he was to heal the brokenhearted. And then we left that passage. But today we hear the rest of the story, as that old commercial used to be, Howard, whatever, I forgot what it was.
Yeah. Now you know the rest of the story.
Now you know the rest of the story. Paul Harvey, I'm from Chicago, as a matter of fact. I used to love listening to Paul Harvey. So now we hear the rest of the story. As you've heard the scripture read, Jesus, having given them where his call has come from, where God has placed on his heart to do the work and the ministry he is called to do. After doing that, there was a normal expectation that after reading the scroll, that you would then tell us a little bit about what you read. Tell us something about what that meant. Give us a little something, something. And so Jesus, in this moment, has now reached that point where he has told them, this is what God has placed on me to do. And he does some other stuff in the middle, which I'm not going to touch right now because that's another story. But I want to touch just that portion where he gets to the part where he says, and Elijah were placed in land of famine. There was despair and dismay. And when God called them, God did not call them to take care of those who had the hads. He called the Elijah and Elisha to take care of the foreigner, the have-nots. And when he reads that portion of the text, all the audience knows what that meant. That meant that as they listened to this text, it meant that they themselves were no longer considered the top, the number one, the best. They were not front and center. That indeed, when Jesus interprets the text by talking about the two stories and Elijah, it meant that Jesus wasn't called just to offer them a word. In fact, it means that Jesus wasn't called to offer them the first word. In fact, it was that Jesus was called to go and offer the word to somebody out yonder, somebody who was stranded and stressed, somebody who's all alone, somebody living on the borderline, if you know what I'm talking about. Jesus was called to care for the foreigner. And it wasn't a message that they wanted to hear. Let's just be honest. You know how we get with the story. When they hear this message, they get upset. They realize that the Jesus that they thought that came to the synagogue to lift them up and to tell them how great they did or give them their platitudes had not come to deliver a message of salvation strictly for them. But that Jesus had come to deliver a message to those who were outcasts, to those who were in prison, to those who were the stranger. And they're sitting in the synagogue going, wait a minute. You come here for that? You gonna give us a message like that? You bringing that up in here? You got to go.
We don't want to hear that, because that's not, we've been living high off the hog. We've been running this thing called a synagogue. It's been our place of control. And now you're telling us we got to do what? We got to do, no, we ain't doing that. We do not want to do that. And the scripture says that even though they've heard the message, even though they've heard what God has said, even though the message has been laid before them, even though God has said to them, this is the call that I have for you, this is a call that God has placed on my heart to do, it's a call of you too. And they're like, no, we ain't gonna stand for that. So you know what? You got to get up out of here, and you got to go someplace. Matter of fact, we're gonna help you go. We ain't gonna just tell you got to go. You know how you say that thing, we don't care where you go, but you got to get up out of here? They went past that. We're going to tell you where to go. We ain't just going to tell you got to go. We're going to take you where we want you to go. And this was to a hill, where the city was on a hill, and they wanted to take Jesus to the hill and throw him off so that he would not come back anymore. And the scripture says that he just passed right through. He just passed right through. Fulfillment does not mean acceptance. They heard the word, they heard the message, but they certainly didn't accept it. They heard that Jesus said that I was called to bring good news, Donna, to the poor, that I was called to set the captives free, that I was called to bring sight to the blind, that I was called to do these things. But even in my fulfillment of the word, even though you are here, we don't want to hear it. It's not accepted. It's not okay. In other words, the scriptures that you have placed before us, we ain't buying those. My brothers and sisters, on this first Sunday of February, on this first Sunday of Black History Month, I just want you to go back a long while ago. A long while ago, probably back to 1860. Now go farther than that, about 1800. Now go back farther to about 1795, 1750, when somebody read in the scripture that it wasn't about setting the captives free. It was about that we could own slaves, and we could own a particular type of slave. And the scripture ordains it, because we don't want to hear that other part about setting them free. We want to collect them in and board them up and place them in ships and bring them to a land that is not their home. And then we want to make them suffer and work for us until death, until they could not do anymore. Somebody read the scriptures and said, we don't want to hear that. The scriptures may be fulfilled, but in essence, we don't want to hear what it's got to say. And instead of being able to say what we are doing in slavery is wrong, it was justified. It was justified by taking the text that God has put before us and twisting it in a way that said, we don't want to hear what you got to say. And we will spend as much time trying to interpret the scriptures in a way that will give us what we want to say. But we wouldn't stop there. Around 1900s, we would discover that, well, we had to let the slaves go free, but we found another way in this history of blackness. In the history of the 1900s, where we would say to you that as a black man or a black woman, if you walked the streets and you didn't have any money in your pocket, you were a vagrant. And if you're a vagrant, we could arrest you. And then we could set the fine just enough that you couldn't pay it. And because you couldn't pay it, you went to jail. And because you went to jail, half your family didn't know where you were, you ended up in prison. And where were you after that? You were on somebody's work farm, doing the work that the injustice that God had called us not to do. The very formation of using this text and ignoring what God calls us. I wish it was over. I wish we had stopped trying to interpret the text, because we don't want to have it fulfilled in the way that God desires. You know that part that says that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and your strength. And you should love your neighbor as you do yourself. But we can't honor that portion of the scripture, particularly if it's a black man who is gay walking to go get something to eat late at night. Oh no, we can't let that happen. We will not allow that fulfillment of God's promise that we would love our neighbor and love everyone equally. No. Instead, we will beat you and we will place a rope around your neck. We have not come to where God has called us to be. We are not saying that the scripture is fulfilled. Not only are we allowing this to go on, but we've got to stop and ask ourselves. We've got to stop and ask when. When will we love our fellow human beings in the way that they deserved? When we stop interpreting the scriptures in a way that says that we need to build a border wall. We need to build a border wall to keep you out. No, we don't want to invite you in and love you as a human being. We want to block you out because we will interpret the text in a different way that says you can't get in here. You don't fit the profile. You don't meet the standards. You are different than us. Instead, the Lord says to love your neighbor as you do yourself. Not anything like, well, you can think about it. You can have a meeting about it. You can maybe sit down and process it. No. God says, God calls us to honor God in all we say and do. You know that part that says, thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal and all those parts? We've massaged those too. We've changed those all around. Because we don't want to accept the word of God that has been placed on us and it's still the same. There is still a call for you and for me to look at our world and see that we are not honoring what our scriptures call us to. We are not living a life that is one that is supportive of those who are the least of us. For those who are in prison for some frivolous crime. For those who are stranded without any sort of home to live in or no work or job to go to. And yet our Bible calls us to stand up for the oppressed, to set the captives free, to bring sight to the blind, to heal the brokenhearted. This is what followers of Jesus are called to do. There ain't no missing it, no sugarcoating it, no changing it. It is what we are called to do. And when we see what is going on in our nation, just because I wear a MAGA hat or whatever the hat is, I don't know what it is, that I feel empowered to go out and bring hurt, harm, and danger to someone, when I'm so emboldened that I don't even care, That's not what our Bible teaches us. But I'm reminding you today that we yet live in a world where even though the scriptures are here and Christ came so that they might be fulfilled, we still live in a world of unacceptance. We still live in a world where bigotry and hatred continue to abound in all that we say and all that we do. We still live in a history that we have not corrected, we have not changed. Yes, some will say we've gotten better. And I want to believe that. One of the quotes that Martin Luther King used, that another used, was that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. And I believe that someday justice will come. Justice will come for the captive. Justice will come for those who've been in prison. Justice will come for those who need release and need assistance. Justice will come for the poor. Justice will come for those immigrants who are standing at a border wall that should not exist. Justice will come for those who are homeless this day. Justice will come for those who are feeling left out and alone. That somewhere in this land that we will get health care for every human being in this nation. That somewhere we'll make a change in this city where violence will not be something you have to look over your shoulder about every day and every week. God never promised you and me, by the way, that we would live a long time. So don't, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that this life is going to be here for us forever. We know that that's not true. But the idea that we are living in a world consistently with fear and trepidation, that we're living in a world continually of worry and angst, God, it's because we have taken the word of God and we've heard it and God has come to fulfill it. And what we've done is we've said, well, can't follow that part. Can't do that part. Don't want to do that. I hope this day that a resurrected spirit comes into your being, into my being, that we might honor what our text asks us to do. That we would love our neighbor as ourselves. And I always say this, that we would love our neighbor even more than we love ourselves. Because sometimes, by the way, we don't love ourselves. I ain't gonna lie. Sometimes we gotta struggle liking each other, liking our own selves. But if we would love our neighbor, love that stranger, love that foreigner more than we love ourselves, as Jesus presented in this story, the world would be a different place. A far different place than what it is today. So the challenge for you and me, not simply because this is Black History Month, but the challenge for you and me each and every day is if the word of God is fulfilled in our hearts, if the word of God has been fulfilled, then we have to accept it. And that means that we got to love each other. We got to love each other whether we've been mistreated, talked about, whether we've gone through good times or bad times. We've got to love each other because God, Christ came so that we might understand that this is true love, that when you love your fellow person, that you are living a life worthy of God, that you are living a life that is fulfilled. Yes, I am anchored in the Lord, because the Lord is my rock and my redeemer. The Lord is my talk to in the midnight hour. The Lord is the one that touches me and wakes me up early in the morning. The Lord is the one that reminds me that I am his own. Just as Jeremiah would know that God had called him as a little boy, you need to know that God is yet calling you. Out of the places and out of the hedgeways and byways, but into the public square, and to claim who God is for your life and in your journey. And I know sometimes it may seem strange. I know sometimes you may feel like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. But I want you to know that God is putting people in your places, voices in your spaces, to give you the direction that you need. You don't have to worry, and you do not have to fret. The question is, is will we be accepting? Or will we be like those who Jesus spoke to? And will we just want to march the message of Jesus off the cliff? Because we don't want to hear about that. We don't want to take the risk. We don't want to step into that place. Rather, we would just rather just say, yeah, I heard it. Mm-hmm. Heard a good sermon today. Well, maybe not, but I heard a decent sermon today. Or the song, the choir was all right. And then we go home. But you and I are called to carry this message much farther than just being in this place, much farther than what we've just heard. But what are we going to do with what God has presented to us? Because just, I want to tell you this, to do nothing is like marching Jesus to the cliff. To sit idle is like marching Jesus to the cliff. To not stand up for justice is marching Jesus. To not stand up for the oppressed is marching Jesus to the cliff. To not seek out ways to set the captives free, and no matter what condition they may end. Because I'm not just talking about the jailhouse. I'm talking about those who are dealing with mental illness. I'm talking about those who are in nursing homes. I'm talking about those who are in the hospital. I'm talking about those who just need a little human touch from one of us. When we are not willing to set the captives free, we are marching Jesus to the cliff. You and I are not willing to help heal the brokenhearted, those who are filled with despair, we are walking Jesus to the cliff. And I don't know about you, but I'm not willing, and I'm not ready, and I'm not going to march Jesus to the cliff in my life. Jesus will be profoundly accepted, and I want to stand on his word. So the challenge for you this day, the challenge for you is the word has been fulfilled. The question is, will you accept? Will you, each of you, all of you, will you accept? Because God so loves you. There is no place you can go. There is no place you can crawl into. There is no place you can hide that God will not offer God's grace unto you. And so the call is, will you accept? Will you say, yes, Lord? Will you say, I will do what I can? I may not be able to run, but I'll walk. I may not be able to walk, but I'll crawl. I may not be able to crawl, but I'll just sit here and I'll just moan sometimes. Yes, Lord. I'll just say, yes, Lord. I'll do something, Lord, to let you know that I hear your word in my life. Because indeed, your word is fulfilled in us. Amen.